James Affleck, good morning to you.
And good morning to you.
Now, firstly, let me say congratulations on the two volumes which make up this work. It's a very handsome piece of work, and a big piece of work as well. This must have consumed a lot of your life, I would imagine, has it?
Yeah, well, it has, and it's been it's a very handsome volume, I'd have to say myself. Hmm. And it's taken 18 to 20 months, I suppose.
Right.
Two volumes, nearly 700 pages.
Yeah.
And 1,350 names, of which 250 didn't return. So pretty, you know, a fair, you know, coverage of the area.
Yeah, yeah. A big sort of survey of the district at the time, yes. Hmm. Just, can we go back a step then and just maybe ask you to give us a little bit of the, I guess, the history of the whole idea and how this came about? Is it something you always wanted to do? Or was there was a particular event that sort of kicked this all off?
Well, Ron Blair, years ago, did the Warrnambool book, and he sort of hit the wall and got to the stage where he couldn't get any funding for it, so he handed it over to me, and I completed that task. So that was just the names on the Warrnambool Memorial, and then the Koroit, this latest work came from basically the Koroit State School Honour Roll, which is a beautiful honour roll, and they took it down to renovate the school about 6 years ago, I think, and behind the board they found photos of all the names on the board, plus a couple of others who, one they've identified, the other they haven't, and you know, it just grew from that, and I'm not sure how many photos there were on that board, but it was a great start to have that number of photos.
Right, and this was something which was not known to anybody up to that point?
They hadn't been sighted since 1919 or whenever the board was unveiled, yeah.
Now, for you then, what's your sort of personal interest in all of this? So I noticed in looking through the books there is a James Affleck listed. Is that a relative of yours?
That's my father,
yeah. Your father, right, yeah.
He was quite a bit older. He was 50 when I was born, so he served at the end of the First World War and didn't get married until after the Second World War. So, yes, that is my father. And he was the senior prefect at Geelong Grammar in 1916. And Bill Winter Cook, William Lemprier Winter Cook from Merndal at Hamilton, sent home four acorns from Gallipoli. And there's a beautiful oak tree out at the back of the Geelong Grammar Chapel, which Dad planted. And they've harvested, as it's a state government and national trust initiative, last year they harvested that tree and also another one at Merndal and one at the Shrine.
Right.
And they've offered them to all the schools, all the state schools in Victoria, and they've had 300 schools apply for them so far.
Right.
And Koroit is planting their tree on Friday at 12:30.
Now, returning to the books then, the two books, the scope of the project is well, it's obviously bigger than that initial beginning with the Koroit honour board. How did you decide, I guess, where you would go or what you wanted to include in who you wanted to include in this book? You know, how did you sort of draw a border, as it were, around that?
Well, we started off with Koroit, and then it became Koroit and Port Fairy and Macarthur and Hawkesdale, and then we pushed it out a bit further. We went up to Penshurst, and we also went to Byaduck, because Byaduck have a beautiful honour board there, which they it's about 6 feet wide by about 4.5 feet high,
right.
And it's got 40 photographs on it, all the guys from Byaduck who went to the First World War. We wanted to include Byaduck because of that, and we actually got the board down and took it to Hamilton and had it restored. We tried to scan the board through the glass, but it didn't work because it was just too far off the photograph, so that didn't work. So we took it up to Hamilton and had it restored, and that was a great offshoot of this whole project, that Byaduck board, because it really is a national treasure. It really is a national treasure. And if that hall had burnt down, perish the thought, it would have been gone forever. Now there's a few copies around.
Right, yes.
But, so Byaduck was included, and we just went down to Codrington, I suppose. But we used Keramet Road as the axis.
Right.
Anything west of Keramet Road and sort of the western half of the Moyne Shire.
Right.
Basically. Okay.
So what you have done then in the book, well, just explain for us, I guess, what people see in the book as well. So you mentioned that the numbers of people who were included. Of those people, what do we learn about, you know, the people who you have been able to, or have you have profiled to some degree in the book?
Well, we just tried to do a little biographical biographical entry on each one. Their service mainly, but if they went AWOL for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, we noted that. And, you know, there was a bit of the dark side, but mostly, I mean, there was one guy who shall remain nameless, but he was in all sorts of trouble all the way through the war. But he really came good right at the end. He was awarded a Distinguished Conduct Medal, which is the second only. It's called the Digger's VC. So he really came good in the end, but he'd had a lot of trouble with the authorities, just going AWOL and generally being a bad boy. But that was just the way they did it. I mean, they were just being Aussie larrikins, and who are we to condemn them for that? Because you just cannot comprehend. I can't comprehend. I've been to France, but you can't understand what they were going through with the shell shock and the, you know, just they were away from home. Some of them left home in October 1914, and they got back in about October 1919. They were away for 5 years if they were lucky enough to get home.
Yes, and very young, some of them as well, of course.
Oh, of course they were. About that, I mean, James Martin was 14. He's probably the youngest Australian to die anyway. But, yeah, no, they were very, very young.
Yeah. How did you go about compiling most of the information then? Was a lot of it readily available? Was there a lot of detective work you had to put in here?
Yeah, there was a fair bit of detective work. Well, you look... the National Archives, you go straight to that, and they're always changing things, which makes it difficult. You just get used to the National Archives and they change it.
Right.
But no, the National Archives, the Australian War Memorial for the guys who were unfortunate enough to be killed, their roll of honour, usually they have a form which their father or mother or somebody will fill out telling where they were and what they, who their next of kin was and that sort of thing, and where they were born and what school they attended and so on and so forth. But for the blokes who came home, the National Archives, they've got all the records freely available. Right. Every World War I record, the Second World War hasn't been digitalised. A lot of it has, but not all of it. So it's all there, and then you just go into unit histories and diaries. All the diaries are on the Australian War Memorial website, all the battalion diaries and all the light horse regiments, etc., day-by-day diaries. So you can... It's all there if you want to find out how somebody was wounded or where he was wounded. It's all in the records if you've got the patience to go through it. Which,
so the challenge for you then was to try to condense some of that, I guess, and make sense of some of that into telling... Obviously, you can't go overboard with that many people to try to cover, but just giving us some sense of who each of those names were and what each of those people did.
Exactly, and who they've served beside and, you know, lifelong friends. Anybody who served in the armed forces, I mean, I served in Vietnam and I've got friends up in northern Australia. They're lifelong friends. I don't see a lot of them, but, you know, we always catch up. And it's a bond that... it never dies. It really doesn't. And they fought together, and then they came home, and a lot of them got soldier settlement blocks together. You know, the Wurrung settlement, a lot of those fellows served together and had been friends before the war, during the war, and after, and they remained lifelong friends.
In compiling the book, I don't know how many of the stories you've carried around in your head or not, but are there, I mean, there must be certain ones, are there, that really perhaps have stayed with you or surprised you or, I don't know, or stuck in your head for whatever reason?
I did a talk at the Bowen Heads Arts Council on Sunday, and all I had to do was put the name up on the screen and I could talk about any one of those blokes for 10 minutes.
Really?
Because I feel like I know every one of them intimately. You know, I really do, because I've spent so much time just going over it and re-going over it. I feel like I know every one of them. I really do.
Yeah. Now, you will, of course, be playing a role this Anzac Day locally as well. Where do we find you?
Well, I'm talking at Hawksdale, which is my old stamping ground, at the dawn service, and then I think I'm talking at the breakfast afterwards, and then I'm going to Woolsthorpe on Friday because the school have a Anzac Day service, the Woolsthorpe School, so we'll go up to the War Memorial in Woolsthorpe with the children, and then we go back, and there's four Vietnam veterans who went to the Woolsthorpe School, and one lives out of the area now, but three of us will go back into the classrooms and have a chat to the kids, and they, you know, it's fascinating because, you know, you go in there and these children say, oh, you know, you don't get much out of the for about 5 minutes. Once the first one asks a question, they're away.
Right.
what did you do? How did you?
What sort of questions do they ask?
They're just the sort of questions you'd expect.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they're probably year 5 and 6, I guess. So, no, they don't get too detailed, but yeah.
And I should just ask you as well. I mean, Anzac Day, given that it's a day which has. The focus seems to have changed quite radically in recent times. Well, I mean, I don't know personally. How do you feel about the day, perhaps, and how we celebrate it now, and what it sort of means to people now?
Well, I think it's wonderful that it's got the coverage that it has. You go back 25 years ago. I mean, when we came back from Vietnam, it was a bit of a shambles, really. Mm. We weren't really welcomed home until 1987. I came back I went over in 1970. I was back by the end of 1971. We didn't have a welcome home for 16 years after that. The battalions usually marched through the cities where they left from, which was good. But the general reinforcements, we all went as reinforcements to a squadron. Mm. We had nothing until the welcome home parade in Sydney. The RSL, I suppose it's happened ever since the RSL's been formed. The First World War diggers didn't think that the Second World War diggers were worthy, and the Second World War diggers didn't think the Korean blokes were worthy, and the Korean blokes didn't think the Vietnam blokes were worthy, but right. We're all in it now together, and sadly there's no World War I veterans left, but we're going to be carrying the can in a few years' time when you think of the Second World War guys now are well into their 90s.
Yeah, it's dwindling, yeah.
Yeah.
For people who would like to look more at your books as well, then how do people find this particular one? Where can you get it from?
Well, it's available at Heritage Works in Warrnambool, which is down below the RSL, and it's also available at the Koroit and District Historical Society. I'm not sure what hours they keep, but the website webpage would give the detail of that.
Yes.
But it's fairly freely available.
Right, yeah. Lovely. James, thank you again very much.
Good. Thank you, Jeremy.